There's a good definition of mercy that I always remember on Mercy Sunday, that one hand we reach out to God to accept his mercy, and the other hand we reach out to others to give mercy, and those two hands form a prayer. It's a good shorthand that it's a two-handed thing. We receive and we give. Well, I have a couple of pictures I brought for props today, and since we taped this, I'm going to try to explain it for those who aren't here. This picture, which I have in my chapel, is I've brought it out here before. This is the picture of Jesus standing by the door knocking. It's a Protestant minister made. This is a gorgeous image from the Bible. And the door, of course, is missing something, isn't it? There's no handle on the outside. The person on the inside controls whether Jesus will come in, you see. The person on the inside will unlock the door and let Jesus in. He's standing at the door knocking. And the scripture that goes with that one is in Revelation. Here I stand, knocking at the door. If anyone hears me knocking and opens the door, I will come in and have supper with him and he with me. It's really all about the Eucharist and the Word of God, eating and drinking with Christ. But it starts with hearing the knock on the door. It starts with being quiet enough or open enough to recognize our opportunity when God offers it, when he comes by. Jesus will periodically come by our door and knock for us. And this is one image of a door. That's why I'm mentioning it. There's more than one way that Jesus enters our hearts. And this is the normal way, that he can come in. He's the creator, of course. He has a skeleton key, but the walls that surround us inside of this house, or the upper room in the gospel today, is the soul. This is the inner sanctuary that only God can really enter. Nobody else can get this close. But as long as we live, we have walls and doors that he gave us called free will. And he respects our free will, you see. So when we get to today's gospel, we have another image of Jesus. And this image of divine mercy, we have two images of divine mercy here in our church. One is in the reconciliation room, very fitting place to put that. Jesus himself said, "Who sins you forgive are forgiven," to the church. And the other one is in the adoration chapel. This is a third type of picture. There are quite a few out there. One doesn't see this as often anymore. I like this one because Jesus, this is a picture actually of today's gospel. Jesus has just come through the locked door. See, he did not knock today. This is why I brought this up. He simply walked right through the wall, and in the other reading, the alternate reading for today, they thought they were seeing a ghost and were terrified. Wouldn't you be? I'd say, "Lord, I'm so glad to see you. Will you please use the door next time?" And the first thing he does is shows them his hands and his side. This image is, it's not in the side, but this is where the blood and water flows out, you see. Blood is the Eucharist. Water is baptism and reconciliation, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus gave them the Eucharist right before he died. He gives them the sacrament of reconciliation right after he rises from the dead. So these two are bookends. You can't have one without the other. So the interesting thing then is that Jesus can come in any way he wants. The disciples in the upper room were friends of his, or at least they were, until he was crucified and they all ran away. He knew that he was wanted and loved there, so he didn't have to knock. He knew he was needed. They would have been afraid of a knock at the door. They were locked because they were afraid. And they were a little afraid of Jesus, I think. They had heard he was alive and wondered what kind of reaction would Jesus have to them. They were not faithful. John came back. The others did not. But they were together. They had remorse, you know, that they were not closer to their friend while he went through this. And Jesus comes to the soul. See, this story is not just about the disciples. It's about your and my soul, this upper room. Jesus is coming in. He's wanted. And if you have a sin or an addiction or some kind of a problem, Jesus can get through that. There's no wall that we put up that he can't get through. This is one of the images here. If we want him, he doesn't need to use the door. He can use any means he wants. But it begins with us saying yes. Always he waits for us to give him that yes. That's free will. Until the day we die, we have free will. At the end of this life, free will comes to an end. And we have to live with what's inside the house, which then becomes public to everyone. The doors and walls fall down, and everyone sees what's inside. That's scary a little bit. But Jesus comes to make sure that the house is clean. He comes in, and the first thing he says, they're overjoyed, they're terrified, they think they're seeing a ghost. He says, peace be with you. Here are my hands and my side. I imagine even in heaven, we get to the meeting with Christ. Here are my hands and my side. It really is me. This is my love for you. Here's my mercy. Here's my calling card. This is how much I loved you. I died for you alone. You, this soul. This is one soul. And he comes to them, and immediately in this gospel, he gives them a mission. He comes not as, this is not a social call we have here. The peace he gives is the peace of forgiveness. He's not going to bring up what they did. He knows they're sorry. They have stayed together. They have come back. And he gives them a mission. He says, my Father sent me, and I've come to send you. They don't deserve to have a mission, but they're going to get one, and they're going to get the power to do it. This is not Pentecost yet, but he's already breathing on them. Remember, this is the Creator who breathed in the Garden of Eden, breathes on clay, which imparts life. No, he breathes on them. And he says, now you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. What's the gift that the Spirit's giving the church today? This is not Pentecost. That's coming in 40 days, 50 days. He's giving the church the power to forgive sins. This was not a gift that was given to 11 men that died 2,000 years ago. He said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. He's talking to people that grievously sinned against him. He said, not only am I going to forgive you, you're going to go out and preach this forgiveness to everyone. The good news that you are forgiven when you come to me. This is good news indeed. And he comes in to clean out the house that was locked and barred, but was wanted. So he comes like he's kind of a vacuum cleaner, you might say. He's going to come here and clean up a little bit. Encounters Thomas with disbelief and heals him. In this gospel, Jesus then comes to the soul and he offers us, each of us, a mission. And really, for one thing, all of us have need of forgiveness, but we do have to come to Christ. This is the great sacrament of God's mercy, the sacrament of reconciliation. But he also tells us that if I've grieved somehow, there's a big block between me and God. The Lord can overcome that. He just expects that first step. He knows we can't make it the whole way. He's going to walk the other 9/10, but there's always that first step that belongs to us. He has a mission for you and I. What is the mission? It is to accept his mercy and then to give his mercy to others, to proclaim the good news. And, you know, in practice, this takes the form of each day and in our lives, sometimes permanently, are people that are needy or in need of mercy from us. We have received mercy from God. We are called to give mercy. And that means just, in practice, putting up with people that perhaps are not to our liking, giving way to somebody's opinion. Somebody's coming to dinner, a relative, and you'd rather not have them over at the house, you know. Anybody have that problem at Easter, maybe? No. Confession is next Saturday. Lord, there's much need here. But I find that there are many drivers for whom I have to have mercy on, you know. But there's always some challenge. This is part of God's plan for us. You have a mission that's as important as the apostles. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But what God asks is, you are an emissary of the kingdom of God in this world. And you and I are called to this mission. We have to allow God to come in and clean the house so that we can go out and be his emissaries. If we're compromised by all kinds of issues and things, the Lord wants to come in and begin to deal with this. And he will. He gets right down to business in this gospel. And you know that the other thing you notice about this is really, this is also an image of the Mass. The first thing that Jesus comes is he comes and imparts forgiveness. That's the first thing we do at Mass, is we ask God for his mercy. And then he teaches them about and imparts the Holy Spirit. This is the epiclesis of the Mass, typified when the priest puts his hands over the gifts and then over the people. So this is the imparting of the Spirit and then the Spirit flowing out to the people of God. And he feeds them with his body and blood. In the alternate reading, he eats fish in front of them. So he shares a meal with them. Then he gives them a mission that's called the sending. You know, go forth and proclaim the good news of the Lord. All of us, whether we like it or not, we have a mission, and God's going to ask us how we did with it. So the mission today, the lesson today, is mercy. With one hand, I receive from God his infinite mercy. With the other hand, I am giving mercy in my life, and the two together form a perfect prayer to God.